Okay, guys. Good morning. How's everybody? All right, good. How many of you were here last Friday? Did you guys know that there are, how many of them? Seven of them went to the adult sanctuary, and they have a pretty good testimony there. It was really awesome. Yes, life-changing story. And I hope the next year, the girls will go along with the boys, all right? Amen to that? All right. Yeah, we used to have a big team there and pray about it and seek the Lord's guidance and go there, okay? I am. All right, let's bow our heads before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. We come before you. We humble ourselves. Father, open our heart and listen to your word. Father, you, through Psalm 42, speak to us. Speak into our hearts. Father, we have hard time as a teenager going through our physical body changed and a lot of demands from school, perhaps from our parents. Father, please help them. Help them to seek you and help them to look up to you. Where can they get help? It's from you, Father. From the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, may the Holy Spirit today in this sanctuary fill with us, with everyone, fill with the speaker, fill with brothers and sisters sitting down there, fill with the non-believers. Father, open their heart. They need Jesus Christ more than ever. Lord, please help us. Let us look up to you today and put our hope in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Get this thing on now. All right. Can somebody turn up the light so we can see better? Okay. Very good. The first question I want to ask you guys is, when you were thirsty, what do you think of? Pretty obvious, huh?
Gatorade,
all right. And who else? Water, okay, we need water. We need water. How about the second one? Gatorade helps too. Number two, what about when you are spiritually low, what do you think of? Think of yourself and who else? Think of her. Who is her? Your friend? What else? I'm still looking for the right answer.
Prayer.
Prayer, all right. Do we need God? Do we need the Bible?
Amen.
Yeah. We are to recognize that. If we are spiritually low, that is pretty... Ooh, is this thing on? Now it's on. All right. So let's look at the next slide. The next slide saying that if we are spiritually low but do not recognize it, we are in what? Deep trouble, and we are facing what? Common problems like everybody else. What problem they have? They're facing? Depression. And what else? Especially for?
Teenagers.
God is speaking to us today. Regardless if we are Christian or not, this is what?
Big
issue. Woo! We got to pay attention to that, huh? All right. Now, depression could come with different form. It could be generic. If your parents have depression, you probably will have it. Or our brain, biology and the chemistry change. Okay, that will affect us. Okay, number two, external causes. Trauma, maybe you got a car accident or something, okay? It's pretty bad. A loss of loved ones, all right? Loss of parents, a sibling, you know, that will be pretty good. I mean, pretty bad, you know? And you got to... Sorry about that. Okay, difficult relationships. What relationship you have deal with? Probably your sibling at home, right? You have siblings? Yeah, and I have the problem when I was young. And you may have the difficult relationship with your parents, isn't it? Huh? And a bad early childhood, you may have abused, right? Or, you know, the fighting with your parents, and you go, whoo-hoo, you know, it will be pretty bad, you know, when you grow up, you're thinking about that bad experience. Then all add up and will make you depressed. Any stressful situation, what kind of situation you can think of? Okay, grace, all right? Grace, huh? Who else is taking SATs last week, huh? Or prepare, right? Right? And when you go to, 12th grade or 11, you're taking AP classes, that will be pretty stressful, isn't it? Huh? And how about thinking of the dream college you want to go to, right? You cannot make it. Whoo, that would be pretty bad, right? And another thing is, the stressful thing I can think of as a parent is the parents giving stressful situation to the children. I didn't do that much, okay? I just say, you know, Joshua, Jason, you know, you take a major, you go ahead and learn it. You know, you are going to take care of yourself. My wife and I do the same thing to our children, let them choose what they want to study, major, right? If they change, it's okay. Like a little one, he changed his major, but he didn't waste too much time. But stressful situation. Number three, who is at risk for depression? This is scary. You are, huh? Okay, more female than male. That's alarming. B, what is this? Low self-esteem. A brain, okay, being too dependent. Be careful about being too dependent on somebody or something, and then you may get into trouble. Self-critical or this kind of personality? Huh? Pretty bad, because you're thinking always of the negative thing in your mind, right? Thinking, it's you? Yeah, sometimes. But be careful, you have the pessimistic personality. You got to really have to ask God, help me. You know, I got to get out of that. All right, depression happens now, and it happened in the past. I really like to share this story with you about a prophet, Elijah. You know the story, right? You read the Old Testament about him, 1 Kings chapter 19. What did he do? You know, he experienced extremely high and low feelings. What did he do? He was a hero in one day, and then he fell into deep depression and hid himself in where? Oh my goodness, very quick, because somebody want to get his life, gonna kill him. So he, I'm so scared, I got to be hiding somewhere. A cave will be safe, right? He thinks so. Then he asked God to take his life. That is extremely depressed. I just want to die. I don't want to live anymore. Even though, how many false prophets they kill? 400 something? Then he was a hero in one day. Then later on, the king's wife said, I want him dead. That was a scary thing for him. So he was in trouble. Psalms in today, I want to share with you, is Psalm 42, and experienced, look at him, spiritually low and depression, and they constantly felt sadness. However, there was hope for them. What is their turning point? Put their hope in God. That's really how the psalmist in 42 went through this depression. We can learn about him. Let's read the word of God first. You guys can all see even from the back, right?
Yes.
Even at this bottom here? Okay. You guys go ahead and read, please. Praise the Lord. We read Psalm 42. There was one word or sentence there. I put it in red. Remember how the psalmist get out of the depression? Put your hope in the Lord. Amen to that. So hopefully today, after we go through the sharing, and you got it, and put your hope into our God. Before I start, I want to share a little bit of the background about Psalm 42 with you. It was written to sing praises to God, and they come together in the house of God, they worship God, they sing to God. Just like today, we have a team sing together and lead us. And that is how it being done, written, the song is written to praise the Lord. All right? And Korah is a son, he was a song leader. But when we look back to Numbers to 16, what happens to him? Remember what happens to him? He was against God, specifically against the leaders, Moses. And what God did to him was adjust him. And they stand in front of the Lord. And the Lord actually opened the earth, remember? Swallow them in front of other people. And his son, God has grace and mercy and save other members of his family. And God has mercy and still use their family to worship God. God is a merciful God, isn't he? He's a loving God. Even though his father did pretty bad thing, but his son is still a leader. And you are right because, you know, they did not follow God's commandments. So the whole, the Israelis, basically was exiled to where? To the Gentiles' land. It wasn't that happy when they go there. I'll show you. It reminds them their past. That is really led them to think of. It should fear of God and follow God's commands. That is basically a little bit of a background I want to share with you. And today, when we look at Psalm 42, it could be divided into two parts. The first part is from verse 1 to verse 5, the first part of it. And the second part of it, it starts from verse 5, the second half of it, all the way to the end of it, 11. I want to share with you with 3 points here. When they exiled to the fallen land, what is the reason? We will take a look at that. Number 2, being bullied by the Gentiles. Ooh, man, they are asking, where is your God? They're even hurting, and they hurt more than that. Where's your God? How come your God is not helping you? You are living in our land? Number 3, lots of sadness inside them. Then I will, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then I'll share with you in detail. That's how bad it is. Where is this place? Can you see? Can you imagine? It's Jerusalem. If I make it a little bit smaller, probably you can see I actually make it too big. And this part of the wall is still there. 2016, I went to tour of Israel. This wall, part of the wall, is still there. What happens? There's 1,000 of people being exiled to the Gentiles. This is burning here. This is basically also people here. This is a pretty good oil painting. Look at how sad they are. The question was, why? This is the Ten Commandments. Broken the Ten Commandments. Let's look at the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods. It's only Jehovah is the God. And do not have other gods if you worship other gods. You know, God is very angry. God thinks that is commit adultery. So God is pretty mad at them. Well, you know, God has mercy, love them because they're children. If you are familiar with Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and 10, God has mercy, brought them back to Jerusalem. This is different than the previous picture, isn't it? This is already built, rebuilt. You know how happy they are? The little kids from the elderly. When all that, they're all coming back home to worship God. Number 2 I want to share with you is they are being bullied by the Gentiles. This question, keep asking them. They are already very sad because they live in the exile land. And they keep asking them, where is your God? If you are hurting, somebody is asking you, where is your God? How come you feel so bad? What do you think? It reminds them how we worship back home. You know, back home, just like today, you are worshiping God. We are all singing, isn't it? I was in the back, I said, whoo, we are all, praise God, we are singing. They used to go to worship God in not one, multitude in where? Jerusalem. They're so happy with shouts and joys and saying what? Thanksgiving to God. That's what we're supposed to do, right? We thanksgiving, we thank God what we have. Now, he's very sad and depressed. When you're thinking of the good time, and later on, you are in a foreign land, don't you think they will be very sad? My question to you is, do you feel depressed being bullied? Boy, let's look back to Elijah. He certainly did, isn't it? Remember the story I tell you? What did he do? He feels pretty sad. He hurry up and hide himself where? To the cave. You probably, when we feel very sad, sometimes we have to hide ourselves. I don't know if you have that experience. Basically, he was there for some time until God said, Elijah, what are you doing there? Come on, don't hide yourself. Get out of there and do my work, right? And then he did. What is your reaction? If you feel sad, you feel depressed, what do you think you should do? What do you think you should do? You would do? Hiding yourself or do something else? Think about that. If you think about that, you probably will come up with some ideas after we, you know, read through Psalm 42, after you look at Elijah's story, and you probably have a pretty good idea. Well, I want to share with you guys with my story, but I want to share with my children's story first. Many of you guys know Joshua and Jason, right? My two sons. And we used to live in the mission area in Fremont. And somehow the school boundary and kick us out. So we have to go to Irvington. And those days, Irvington wasn't that good of a school, right? And my wife and I prayed, should we move my other family to closer to Mission High? We pray about it, everything back, you know, how God blessed us to get a house there, even we were not really qualified, but God gave us the house there, the smallest house in the mission area. And we pray about it. We said, well, if God is not speaking to us to move, we stay put. All right? So now, our kids will go where? Irvington School, right? High school. And we always like the kids to be independent, and they take bus home after school, right? And prior to that, and they were in school, they're new kids in town, right? You know what happened to them? Being bullied by the big boys, right? And that was pretty sad. I don't know, you have the experience when you go from one school to another, there's always people picking on you. It doesn't matter what you do, it's not right, they always give you a hard time. And my children already fed up with that. And one day, they took a bus home. They were in a bus from Irvington High back to the Warm Spring area, and it would stop by our house. And on the way, the two boys, they're bigger than them, and give them a hard time. And really bullying, okay? So my son Joshua was kind of angry already, and he told me his fist is right there, right? He's ready to fight. And Jason said, are you sure he want to do that? But two of us probably can, you know, pretty much knock him down or something. But he was thinking, you know, during the nights, I always pray with my children. I pray to them how to control their anger, how to be like Christ, Jesus Christ. Then he thought about that. He said, well, you know, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He did not fight back. He could. He could come out and boom, 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 slap them and come back. Couldn't they? He could, right? Shut up or do something, right? Especially the guy that spit on him, right? But Joshua said, no, I'm not going to do that. I just, you know, being myself, I want to trust Jesus Christ and he will protect me. At that day, two of them just stayed there, did not fight back, did not look at those bad boys. And they are doing something and they just don't look at them. And he said, okay, these guys, you know, just don't bother to waste my time with them. And then they went to bully somebody else's, right? And then by the time you get to the house and they get up, just don't look at them and went home. And when I got home and they shared this story with me, I said, oh my goodness, then Jesus Christ. You know, when we pray to them, we use him as our example to live our life. This is a blessing. So later on, and they really came out from the hurting by being bullied. They joined the Christian club by the Irvington High School. There's a Christian leaders to lead the club. I encourage you, if your school, you know, next to your school has some kind of a Christian school, join them. And they will encourage each other and pray for them. Okay? And that was really a big help for Joshua and Jason. And I want to share my story when I was young, just like you guys. And it wasn't pretty good because I wasn't a Christian. Okay? And I was in China. I did not even know Jesus Christ. But I tell you how I went through. When I was your age, I have a brother who is about 4 years older than me. And when I was in elementary school, he always protected me, right? So nobody bullying me, right? I just walking like this every day, you know, nobody was bullying me. Guess what? When my brother went to junior high, now who's going to protect me? No one, right? And then the bullying come in. And they start bullying me. And the guys usually is a little bit bigger than you, right? Or stronger than you. And I said, wait a minute. I cannot be like that. Bully every day. You know, they even take your lunchbox and put your backpack somewhere. And I was angry. I said, man, how can that be? And I said, oh, I'll just be cool and be patient and try to see. And when my mom came home, oh, it's okay, son. It'll be over pretty soon. I said, it's never get over. So one day I was arguing with him and he pushed me down and choked me on the ground. He was sitting on my stomach and choked me. I said, oh my goodness, I'm going to be dead meat very soon, right? I was having a hard time breathing. And then I thought of using all my power, right? I used my feet and went up and put on his neck and bang! He didn't die, but I was scared. I was scared to death because it's a no motion. When I look at him, I said, oh my God, I killed that person. Then I went to him, I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. You almost killed me. You're bullying me for many, many years. I'm sick of you. I want to kill you. And then, then when I was young, okay, I wasn't a Christian. Then I later on say sorry to him, and I shook his hand, I pulled him out. I said, okay, no more bullying, okay? So I wasn't happy with that because you know what? When I get home, then I heard from somebody, he is going to kill Larry. He's going to kill me. Then I was so scared, I tell you. I just like this little boy. And I was thinking, somebody's going to kill me day and night. And I walking, I said, anybody is going to kill me when I am home? This is not me, okay? Look at the windows. Man, he's going to after me? That is the depression sets in. I was so scared. I was so scared because somebody is going to kill me. Scary look. Isn't it? This wasn't me, okay? But, okay, so a lot of sadness sit inside. Now, I want to share with you like this. You know the psalmist, if you have the Bible, but it's too dark for you guys to read. Verse 3, tears for food day and night. You know how sad that person is? Anybody have that experience? Tear for food day and night, that means it's crying, literally, right? It's crying day and night. Cannot sleep, right? First 5, 6, and 7, they repeat it. Downcast inside him. That is the hurting part. When you're living in a Gentile land, it's no fun. People keep asking you, where's your God? Look at this part. I said, oh my God, it's so bad. Bones suffer mortal agony. It's hurting in the bones. Inside your body. Now it's talking about the bones. Number 9. Felt like God has forgotten him. A lot of times, even we are Christians, when we feel sad, we say, where's my God? How come God is not helping me? Do you have the feeling sometimes? He says, oh my God, did you forget about me? I come to church, I serve you. But now, I have this all kind of problems. You know, you forget about me. According to study, actually I did a lot of study before I prepared this. Depression has the following symptoms. That this is only 7 of them. Actually, they listed about 10. But I think these are the ones that probably apply to us, the young people. Of course, it also apply to the adults, right? First one is a feeling of what? Helplessness. And there's no help, no hope. Where's the hope then? Right? This is how they feel when they are depressed. And loss of interest in activities, daily activities. I used to do something, and I don't want to do that anymore. I used to go jogging. You know, when I go home, boom, 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 I change my clothes, I jog 2 miles, right? Then I don't have that feeling anymore, right? Appetite or weight changes. Now, when some people depressed, what they do? They eat. They eat a lot, right? Chocolate and all this stuff. And they gain weight. Some of them got so scared, they don't do anything, they don't eat. They become very skinny, right? Sleep changes. Some people sleep very long, even when noontime still sleeping, because they don't want to do anything, they lost interest. Some of them wake up in the middle of the night. That is pretty bad. And explain aches and pains. Well, I have some aches and pains sometimes. I'm not sure if I am depressed. But I guess not. Because I lack of exercise. Okay, anger easily. Some people that really got angry if they got depressed. Some of them, they're introverts, right? They just, you know, hiding in the corner. But some of them, they got angry. You know what happened to those people? They have the guns and shoot people. That is the one that is very extreme. That is anger easily and lost energy. I don't have energy to do anything. Even when I open the Bible, I don't have energy to read. Some people tell me that. When I read the Bible, I fell asleep. You know, there's no energy and no interest, you know, to read the Bible. Well, this is how they look, you know, when depressed is like this. Boys, girls. Huh? I just took that, you know, picture from Google this morning. When it is, well, you know, this is always, you know, feeling sad, right? Like this. Girls too. You know, stay in your room and just don't go anywhere. Mom said, dinner time, no response. Honey, open the door, no response, right? And he feels so sad. Look at that. So always looking down. Do you notice that? And people are sad that they really, the head is down, they're not looking up. All right? Okay. This is the good part about today's message, right? He was talking about a lot of negative thing and, you know, feel so sad. Now, God brings them out there. Put your hope in God. First, 5:11 is saying the same thing. First one, thirsty like a deer pants for water. You know, if you ever go to Israel, you go to the wilderness, you find out there's really no water. You see just a rocky mountain, not even trees. You seldom see trees, okay? Even trees are very small, okay? So no water there. Urgently seeking God, that is what we should do. That is where the psalmist do is seeking God. Then you find help in, with him. Psalm 61, 63, verse 1, this is how David seeks God. And he says, "Oh my God, I earnestly seek you, and I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you." That's what David says. "In a day and parched land where there is no water." That is how David is feeling at that time, is seeking God. I'm not sure about you. Would you do the same if you got into, you know, situation? If you are thirsty for the Word of God, you really go there, pray to Him, right? Read the Word, you know, to help you. All right. So hopefully you will do that. Okay. Verse 2. When can I go to meet God? Woo, that is important. Remember when they're back home, how they worship God and being with God, actually meet God, you know? So that is the happy time. They want to see God being with Him. Just like today, you come to the presence of God and you feel that. That is how he said, "I put my hope in God." When you come here this morning, do you have the feeling? Man, I want to see God. I want to talk to Him. I want to praise Him, right? When you are singing. All right? So, Elijah came out from the cave finally. To who? To meet whom? To meet God. Okay, come out. I have things for you to do. Well, there's somebody I want you to disciple, right? Who is that? All right, yes. Amen. Look at this picture. Here's the rising sun, and he is there. I'm not sure who that is. Maybe that's you, right? I put my hope in my God. All right? What kind of God is to them and is to us? I think that's important when we read, especially Old Testaments. When we read this, oh, their God is like this. And what about me? What is God? God is a living God. God is my Savior. God is my life. God is my rock. He is my God, a personal God. I want to spend a little time to share that with you. I think that's important. Verse 2, they believe. They really believe. Jehovah is a living God. And the psalmist remembered that he used to worship him in very happy time. And today, God is really a living God. Where's God? Where's the Holy Spirit? Among us, right? And in you, each of you, right? It's in us. And when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you think I am?" Remember how Jesus' disciple answered Jesus? "You are the Christ." They recognize that. And He's a living God. God actually came to earth, show us how the Father is. Back then, in Psalm 42, they don't see the Father. They cannot see God. And right now, in the New Testament time, God came down on earth. Let us see Him. Even though today, you cannot see Him, but you can feel Him. He's inside your heart. Trust Him. You know, a lot of Other religion, they believe their God, their dead God. They are not alive. You know, where is Jesus now?
Alive.
Alive where? Sitting where? Right hand side of God. He's still alive. And other people, I don't know, they believe in Buddha or whatever. They are the dead gods. Only Jesus Christ, our God, is the living God. So we can trust him. Verse 5, the psalmist said that God is his Savior. Is his Savior. They always believe that God has salvation for him. God gave him salvation back then. Jesus gave us salvation now and even in the future. Now, Psalm 89 verse 26 tells us that God is our salvation. Now, how many of you are not Christian yet? Can you raise your hand? One? You're not believing in Jesus Christ yet? All of them? Bless you. Maybe one or two. If you are not, trust him. He's a living God. He gives salvation. So if you are not really even sure, you can pray to God and ask God to forgive your sins and come to your life. Come to your life. And today is the time, my friend. Trust Jesus Christ. And verse 8, God is his life. The psalmist realized that his life is God's hands. You know, in his hand, without God, there's no life. They realize that. And his prayer to God is, you are my life. You are my life. When the enemy asked, where is your God? I hope that you answer them. You answer them. I put my hope in God. He's my life. He's my life. Verse 9. God is his rock. Oh, he described that as a rock. What does God is a rock to the psalmist? And what is it to you? It's basically the foundation of your faith, like a rock. You know, remember when you were little? You know, we grew up in church. We used to sing songs, right? You're building the house on the sand versus on the rock. Remember that? And when the wind comes, in the house building on the sand will, boom, falling down, right? Remember, yeah? And then the house building on the rock still stands. Amen to that. Amen to that. This is a very nice analogy and also a good teaching. When we were little, we sing it, and later on you remember that actually the Word of God is inside our hearts and it can help us. Where do you build your faith on? Is it on your knowledge? For the Ivy League school you graduate? Or are you building on the Word of God? You know, for many, many years, when I was young, when I come to this country, and I said, oh, man, I got to study English. I got to excel. I got to get a college degree. I got to get a good job, right? American dream is what? Own a house, a car, right? A family. And back then, we loved to have swimming pool. But don't get it, I tell you. It's a disaster. Too much work. Anyway, and I wasn't faithful to God. I was faithful to material. But it turns out I'm building my life not on the rock instead of material thing, but God changed me later on. Lastly, verse 11, the psalmist said, God is his God. And God is a personal God to him. This is the last one. Very close to me. That's what he thinks. A personal God, right? You can talk to him. You can cry to him. if you have problem, you just talk to him, just like, you know, your mom, your dad, you know, just very, very close, or even your best friend, right? You know, you can talk to anytime. Yeah, anytime you can, you know, say, you know, WeChat or whatever, IM message, and, you know, just reply. And we can really cry to him. This personal God is that is so close to you. You just talk to him, cry to him. Do you have the relationship with Christ like that? I think if we go through the psalmist today, at least we can learn something about God is my personal God. Okay? That will help us walk a long way. He is my personal God. Jesus loves you. Do you know? I thought there was a song, isn't it? Wow, you guys are good, huh? All right. Here's a heart there and a cross. A cross is love. All right, you guys, good. You guys are singing the song. Yeah. Amen, amen. Well, I still have some time, but I would like to summarize it with you. The psalmist, their sadness was real and yet was very painful, wasn't he? As I explained that to you, he went through that. Where the enemy keep asking, where is your God? I hope when people ask you, where is your God, you can tell them, my God is my life in me. And he got real help and walked away from being bullied and depressed by putting all his hope into God, the creator of the universe. So if we do that, just like them, we got hope. What do you and I do when facing bully and depression? Ask yourself. According to study, I told you I did a lot of study, and actually it's listing 1, 2, 5. So first one is stay in touch. Do not withdraw from life. That's important. Stay in touch with whom? First of all, with God, with Jesus Christ. Second, with your parents, with your siblings, with your classmates, right? Keep in touch. Do not withdraw from life. You are still young and we have a long way to go, all right? Number two, be more active. Ooh, that reminds me. Exercise, right? Pick up some form of exercise. I like jogging. I don't know about you. What do you like? Play tennis? What kind of exercise do you like? Badminton? All right, ping pong maybe somebody? Basketball? Pastor Howard likes basketball. He's pretty good. What else?
Swimming.
Yeah. No exercise? Do some exercise, all right? Number three, face your fear. If you fear, face it. If you cannot do it, ask God or for your friend all together. Do not avoid things you find difficult. When people feel depressed, they always say, oh no, it's hard for me, I don't want to do it. But face it. You know, find it difficult, I want to do it. Then you will be ahead, right? Or try to eat a healthy diet. That's important. They keep you healthy, then you can exercise, right? Think straight. Okay, have a routine, right? Coming to church is a routine. Every Saturday night, I prepare. Put my clothes here, iron them, put them there, what shoes I wear, socks and all the stuff, boom. In the morning, I'm ready to go, right? Looking forward to it. Exercise regularly. They're speaking to myself now. I need to exercise. Same to you, all right? Come out from your cave like Elijah. Walk with Christ. That's Larry say that. I think it's important. Walk with Christ. Walk with Christ. Let's see what else do I have. Number seven is a famous quote from, who I like that? Martin Lloyd-Jones, the evangelical preacher and author. He asked this. Let's read this together. Okay, let's go. Aha. a lot of times when people get depressed because they are listening to themselves. The psalmist said, you talk to yourself. Why are you so downcast? You know, talking. Instead of, oh, I sit there. You know, there's a little voice and going through their mind. They believe that. But no, the psalmist said, talking to yourself. Ask, why I feel so sad. So starting today, talk to yourself. All right? And put all your hope in whom?
Jesus
Christ every day. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I can trust you guys. You guys are good. All right. Let's bow our head and we pray to our God. Okay? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 42, where the psalmist experienced difficult time. But he knew where to get help. Put his help, his hope into God. We remember Psalm 121 tells us that our help comes from our Lord. It comes from our Lord, the maker of the heaven and earth. May God help us, help our youth seek you and put their hope in you, trust you and lean on you. Father, bless them and be with them through their ups and downs. May your word is a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Be with us this morning. We love you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.